hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going
home. Very all right. Thank you for another Saturday. Thank you for tuning in. We thank God for how far He's brought us there. Last but one Saturday for the year 2023. But for this program, this is the last edition for the year. And we have every reason to thank God. It's always a privilege to come your way. I think this year is 1 year I've not traveled that much. So I think this is 1 year I've had a lot of programs continuously throughout the year. I think this is the 44th edition for the Issues of Life program this year. So of the 52 weeks, this is 44. And we thank God for this evening. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. You know, the weather is a bit, I have some cold, but we'll manage it for tonight, this last edition. And, you know, last week we were talking about being grateful to God, thanking God. You know, we have every reason to do so. You know, sometimes people, I mean, just as I said last week, it gets to this time of the year and, like, you know, people do the assessment of themselves and some blame God and all that. But we have to be grateful to God for giving us, if not at all, the gift of life. The fact that you are alive, this is we are finishing the 51st week, and then we enter the last week from tomorrow. To be alive up to this point in the year is something to be grateful to God for. If not at all, the fact that you are hearing this evening, you are listening to this program, you are still a Christian, you've not left the faith, you have a reason to thank God for that. And no, this year we've had, you know, lots of things happening in the world. The war in Israel has culminated it to be something else, and the ripple effect is beginning to show in the world. The exposure of the hatred for Jews and, you know, the anti-Semitism we are hearing and seeing in the news. So many things are happening. The Ukraine war is still ongoing. The world crisis, I mean, famine, economic issues in some countries. We really have a reason to thank God in Ghana, because it's not like that in other places, not at all. But, you know, sometimes we get so complacent with the normal or the standard. So it's like, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, when it comes to something, when something is normal, you can easily see it as a right. It's your right to have it. It's a right for you to exist. So what about, there's nothing like praying to God. There's no need to pray to God for something or thank Him for it, because after all, the system is working. So the system has provided it, and it will come anyway. You know, we can be found in that situation as believers sometimes, if you are not careful. When we normalize, we see things which are, we try to normalize everything, and we fail to give the due credit to who God, I mean, is for what He's done. Non-believers don't really care about these things, but we believers should not make the mistakes that non-believers do. And in assessing all ourselves, like ourselves in all these situations and all, we sometimes ignore the spiritual aspect of assessment. You know, for those on my broadcast list, we've been doing think today was the 15th or so, 14th, I think. And like we've been like various parts of our spiritual lives, the word of God, our prayer, you know, all these things, asking questions. I mean, how we fared in the course of the year. You know, let's, if you read 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobate. So, self-examination is something which you should be able to do because you know yourself. You should be able to look at yourself and say that my Christian life this year has improved or retrogressed. You know, you should be able to, because it's about you. You know yourself. If you are praying, you know. If you are not praying, you know. So these are things which, you know, I mean, you can just run through a few of these things, and let's just pick a few. So I think we started with prayer was the first. So, I mean, did you set targets to pray this year? Have you been able to achieve them? You know, have your prayer life or the time you pray and all that gone down compared to previous years? You know, you should be able to assess yourself and know that this year, my prayer life has really, really, really gone down. Or this year, my prayer life has improved. I've been more prayerful, praying more, praying at different places, like different times of the day and all that. You should be able to, you know, gauge that, compare yourself with previous year's performance. Have you improved or you've retrogressed? Or this year your prayer is just some 5 minutes and that's it, you are tired. You know, so if you see all these things, then you know, well, there's room for improvement. And when it comes to spiritual things, there's nothing like a limit, an end point. I've arrived. We never arrive in spiritual growth. I mean, there's always room ahead. There's always progression to be made, because you see, we never finish growing spiritually. So these assessments are meant to encourage you to go higher, to push higher, to push further, and all that, to strive higher and harder. So the second one, we looked at the word of God. Did you set a Bible reading target? Were you able to complete it? How serious have you been with reading the word, studying the word, meditating the word? Were you able to do it? Ask yourself these questions and all, you know. So we have to assess ourselves this year. I mean, as the year is ending, we have just 1 week, these final days of the year. Reflect backwards into the year, see how you've progressed or retrogressed spiritually. Then we also looked at the aspect of time. So looked at time. How have we managed our time? You know, the Bible talks of Romans 13:11, and that's knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, so I mean, the time is obvious. I mean, as a serious Christian, you don't need to be told that these are serious times. You know? And Paul has it in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If the time of Paul was evil days, then I wonder how our days can be classified, because it's really something else. Our days are clearly something. So, you know, assess yourself. How have you wasted your time this year? How have you achieved things using... You know, time is so valuable a resource. But oftentimes, we see it as just time. Nothing. What's the big deal? But it's time we prioritize how we really use our time as Christians. You know, it's a big issue for Africans in particular. Only when it comes to Ghana, time is not really something we pay attention to. We don't really care. So a program, 7:38. I mean, no, it doesn't happen in a serious country where systems are functioning. If it's 7, it's 7. You know, for this time, I remember I attended a church years back in another country. I was visiting my senior brother. And after the service, the pastor was apologizing profusely for the service extending 5 minutes. And it's like, I was telling my brother about five. What is 5 minutes? So, you preach, I mean, extra 5 minutes, service has extended 5 minutes, and it's like something huge has happened. Then he explained to me how 5 minutes is not just 5 minutes in that country, because somebody has planned, he's going to take this particular train. So after church, he's walking this number of minutes to the train station, which is close by the church. So missing this particular train means he's missing another connecting train going to another part. So 5 minutes can translate into 1 hour for someone. Then I got to realize, I realized that day that, oh, see, we downplay time this part of the world, but in the places where systems are working, you just don't waste somebody's 5 minutes, because that 5 minutes is so valuable, because it can translate and relate to something else. So that's how we should see time. I mean, not just for in terms of the spiritual aspect of, I mean, doing things spiritually, using time wisely, but even we have to translate it into our physical lives, our secular lives, our work culture, ethics, and all. Time is valuable. I mean, this year, if you have to really assess yourself, I mean, how wasteful have you been with your time? Calculate the number of the whole year, for instance. Yeah, let me just get into my calculator, just a quick one, and then just do a little math here. We have 24 hours in a year. No, in a day, sorry. So times 365, we have 8,760 hours the whole year. 8,760. Of this 8,760, presumably, if you are to sleep ideally 1/3, as I mean, it's prescribed, we are looking at sleeping 2,900. Oh, okay, so let's round it up. 3,000 hours is meant for sleeping and resting. So the rest is meant for all other things. Going to church, going to work, going to school, walking, jumping, everything, cooking, everything that life, I mean, matters about and all that. But for some people, a chunk of this time left was wasted on social media, wasted on football, wasted on movies, wasted on, you know, once in a while you can catch up on some of these things. But if it's like a habit that you can't break out of it, and it's just draining your time consistently, then you should really assess yourself well, because time is moving. I mean, in as much as it looks okay, everybody is doing it, what's wrong with it, but you are growing and time is going, and this valuable resource, that the times that you could have used to do something more profitable, is just draining away, on secular things which bring no value to you. So some people will spend several hours on TikTok, on YouTube, watching short skits, you know, laughing. Then time goes. Then you see, the time that we have, the saddest part of all this is we are going to give an account of our time to God one day. What did we use our time for? And for some, it will be a sad case, because they can't really point to something valuable in their lives, physically or spiritually, secularly or in the church. There's nothing they can point to that we use that time profitably for this. This is the reward or the outcome or the output of how resourceful I was with my time whilst I was on earth. Some people are just wasting their life on their, I mean, it's sad sometimes when you are moving in some communities and you see grown-up men at 10 a.m. sitting under a tree and they are playing draughts, and it's like, wow. I mean, 10 a.m. and people are playing dummy under a tree. You ask yourself, so what is their purpose in this life? How do they see themselves? What is the use of their life? What are they just in this life for? Just eat, sleep, play dummy, walk around. There are some people, sometimes you drive in the night, you see people have gathered in front of shops, they are watching football. And you ask yourself, so is it like they have nothing doing at that point in time? they are just walking, they see any green, something green on the screen, or they have to stop and then let me watch some. And it's like, you see, just this evening, around 4 hours at the barber, and two guys just came around to the barber shop, and there was a TV, like a football match. Oh, and the international NPB, it's like, you see, they are just aimlessly, they just don't know what their time is for. So you just see a screen with football, 22 people running, hey, then you have to watch some. You don't even know the team's playing. Now that they have come to sit and before they look at the names. These are just examples to depict how wasteful some people have been this year with their time. And you see, as you assess yourself and you see the failures and all that, then you now have a better projection of how you use it wisely next year, God willing. Because you just can't go on wasting your time every year like that. Because the things that you can achieve with the same time that you are wasting, someone else is using it to achieve something greater in the kingdom of God, greater in the secular life and all that. So let's see time as one valuable resource. Oftentimes we don't talk about these things that much as Christians and all, but it's important we pay a lot of attention to it, because that is what our whole life revolves around, time. See, our time on earth here is what we've been allotted. Only God knows how long we've been placed on this earth for, how long and all. But as to what we do within that time frame, that one is not God who is going to do it for you. That one is you who is going to use your time effectively and wisely. But at the end of the day, you are going to give accounts as to how you spent the time. 19 years, 21 years, 25 years, 40 years, whatever years you spend on this earth, you will give an account of it. How resourceful were you? Some will die at 33 years. Jesus died 33 years, but that was a full pack. Everything was achieved. John the Baptist died around that same early 30s years. Because he was just born 6 months before Jesus. But he also finished his mission. There are many people who will die young. They finish their assignments. But some too will grow old, and yet they will be seen as they were wasteful, because they didn't finish some don't even know the assignments in this life. They are just existing. So at the end of the day, they just pass through this life, and at the time of accountability, there's nothing to point to. That's how some people have spent this year or wasted this year. The year has just run by so quickly, and it's like, what did I do with my life this year? What did I achieve this year? It's like just sleeping, walking around, nothing concrete to really say that this year I achieved A, B, C, D. There are some who can't point to anything meaningful. They've just wasted the year. But you see, if unfortunately you happen to be one such of that group, well, you still have an opportunity again as we are progressing into a new year. Pray to God give you that wisdom to know how to manage your resources, the time, the resource, powerful resource called time. How to manage it. You see, if you're able to manage it effectively, you realize that you achieve not only the spiritual things, but even your normal secular life. Because God is also interested in how we are our normal lives, how we spend our lives. It's not just about just doing things for God alone, but how we live our lives, our families, how we manage our families. All these things are part of us. So we cannot just be reckless and just be wasteful. And then, so at the end of the year, you realize nothing achieved. Then we start the year, New Year resolution. We write all the things, number one, number two, number three, number four, by this, by that. We achieve this, by this. And then the year runs and it's like nothing achieved again. We should get to the point where let's identify what the problem is. It's very important, because you see, for some, it's about self-control. Self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So that means then go to the one who is the source of that power. That's the Holy Spirit, to help you be able to control yourself, there are some, it's just about friends. There are some people, their only challenge in this life is the friends that they are wasting their times with or on. Because if those friends are out of their shadows, their lives would have been more productive. But these friends are draining them. So the whole year you look back and this friend or friends have been the ones that have brought you down, your spirituality, your prayer, your holiness, everything has been attributed or pointed to the negativities of some friends in your life. For such, then you have to know that no, we can't go into the next year with these same kind of friends who are a drain on you. They are negative charge on you. They are just not adding anything positive to your life. They are just wasting you and draining you. You see, so identify these things, because if you have friends who, when you are serious, you want to do something meaningful and they just go, I mean, Charlie, let's go out and just chill. Let's go out and walk around. Let's go out and just watch movies. I mean, life is not just about these entertaining things. As I said, it's not really a bad thing to once in a while say, oh, you are watching a movie. There's nothing sinful about it. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a clean thing you are watching. There's nothing wrong doing it once in a while. But when your life is hooked to it and you have learning to do as a student or even a worker who is striving to achieve, like learn, take some courses and all that to upgrade, improve yourself, and yet you keep wasting time on these things, then, you see, we shouldn't blame somebody, the devil. Now, this one, see, these things I'm talking about, you can't blame them. It's not the devil's fault. You didn't hold your eyes, open your eyes to watch the movies. It's a choice. You see, this life is full of choices. From January 1st to today, 23rd, it's all about several thousands of choices that we've made throughout the year. To go, not to go, to come, not to come, to jump, not to jump, to, you know, choices. Go, come, jump, open, left, right, up, down. You see, we've made choices from January 1st up to today. And we are still going to make choices to the last, day of this year. And God, in the next year, we are still going to make choices and choices. So, life is all about choices. But if we don't make the right choices, it just keeps taking us to the right place, the wrong places. So, for some people, the choices that they've been making is, you know, not for some people, everybody, we are where we are because of the choices that we've made in the course of the year. Or in our lives, at any point in time, wherever we are, is as a result of choices made. So if you are assessing yourself in a year, one thing you have to look at is, what choices have you made this year? Have they been productive? Have they been positive, rewarding choices? Or have they been negative, sinful, pushing you away from God and all that? The choices you've made this year, we should be able to assess it. The choices. What choices have you made this year that have propelled you positively, your prayer life? Is it to pray or not to pray is a choice. To read your Bible or otherwise is a choice. To go to church tomorrow or not is a choice. Whatever. Listening to me now is a choice you made. Because you could have listened to several other things. You could have watched TV, any other thing. You could have just decided to sleep. Perhaps you are even sleeping now. You are tired. But, oh, I just want to listen to Bremen, last edition of the year. You see, it's a choice. Everything is a choice. So there is, like, we are just accumulation of choices from 1st January. It's choices that will add up until the end of the year. That's the summation of the year. Choices. But if we assess ourselves, what value has these choices brought us this year? Can you say that my choices this year have been positive oriented, and these choices have helped me to achieve something higher? My choices have helped me to be more spiritual. My choices, because the choice of listening to some people on radio or TV or internet or whatever can help you to grow spiritually. The choice of subscribing to something can help you to improve your life. So it's about choices. And see, in assessing ourselves this year, it's one critical thing we cannot just ignore. The choices we've made. Some people make some, like, you can make one fatal choice, and it can ruin your life if you are not careful, or if God does not intervene, it can virtually help you to go to hell faster than you can imagine. Just one choice, and it can derail your whole life. Choices. So, in assessing yourself, look at your choices, and that will help you to make better choices in the times ahead. Because the in assessments, you're able to see the failures, and then that gives you an idea of how to improve going forward. So these are all important choices. Like, I mean, assessments to make is a choice as well. To assess yourself is even a choice. To agree that, okay, let me assess myself spiritually. How well have I done in this area, prayer, in my living, my work with the Lord, Holy Spirit, relationship? How well, the fruit of the Spirit, how well have I been able to walk in, bear these nine fruits? Has it been this, all the nine components we can accumulate into the fruit? How effective have I been in exhibiting these in my daily life, in my home, in my community, in my office, or whatever? These are all choices, like assessments we have to make regarding the works of the flesh. I mean, Galatians 5 has them. I mean, of all the lists today, that was the assessments, the works of the flesh. Assess yourself from the beginning of the year? Have you fallen into some? Is it intentional? Is it by mistake? Whatever. Is it a lifestyle? Is it that you are just not interested in stopping? Or if you even did, have you repented? Have you come out of it? These are all things you look at. Did you succeed in overcoming all these? Were there failures? Assess yourself. Examine yourself, as Paul talks about. Examine yourself. Because it helps us to be able to know whether we are failing or we are improving. Forgiveness was one other part of the assessments we're talking about. Forgiveness is a big deal. Forgiveness. People are, from beginning of the year till now, there are some who have vowed that they will not talk to somebody. But you see, it's one of the most dangerous things Christians ignore. Because the word of God is clear. Jesus said, in teaching us to pray, he says, forgive as we forgive. So, forgive as God should forgive us, as we forgive others their trespasses. It's a conditional statement. And it's a very powerful conditional statement. In other words, God, if I don't forgive others, you also should not forgive me. And that one is a very serious statement, because how can God forgive you when you are not ready to forgive others? So Jesus gave other scenarios of, you know, the servant who was giving much, he was owing so much to the king, the boss, and he was forgiving. And then he went to also hook someone, another servant, owing much less, and drags to prison and all. So forgiveness is a critical thing and a major part of our lives, because so far as we claim to be Christians and we are in Christ, forgiveness should be a must in our lives. It's a must. It's not negotiable. It's not like if I want. When it comes to forgiveness, it's not like that one. The choice is fixed for you. The Bible has given you the prescribed choice. Forgive. Forgive. You have no reason to say this one there, I choose not to forgive. No. Then you are going clearly against the word of God. You have to forgive. So forgiveness, as the year is ending and you're assessing yourself, it's as this evening, as now I'm talking, is there someone you've not forgiven this year? Issues arose between you and you've decided that you'll not forgive the person? Or is it one of the most dangerous ones is, well, I've forgiven him, but I won't talk to him again. When I see him, I just pass left. When I see him, you pretend you are making a call on your phone. You pretend as if you've not seen. You see, there's something lingering in your heart. The forgiveness is not complete, because so far as there's forgiveness, and yet seeing the person, your heart is beating like a pumping machine, then there's something wrong. You see, forgiveness should be genuine and should be sincere. We have to forgive. in order for us to attract God's forgiveness as well. And see, that condition is so dangerous, because so far as God is not forgiving you, means your sins are piling up like water behind a dam. Until you forgive, then your sins too can be forgiven when you ask God to forgive you. But so far as you say, I will not forgive, then God's forgiveness towards you is blocked like a dam, and it will pile and pile and pile. All your sins will be piling from that day till you choose to forgive, before God can forgive you. And if unfortunately you die before you choose to forgive, then that one, you know where the issues will be dealt with. And it's a serious issue. I remember it was one of those videos I watched, some time back. And this man died, and he was shown believers in hell, several believers in hell, because of unforgiveness. They were Christians, all right, but because of unforgiveness, there's no way you can go to heaven. No way. Don't let anyone deceive you that you can hold on to unforgiveness and still walk past the gates of heaven. No, forget it. It's not going to happen. I mean, the word of God is clear. God will not forgive you. So if God has not forgiven you, what basis are you coming to heaven? On what basis? When your sins have packed against you. You see? So assess yourself in that area as well. Your heart. You see? One of the things we should really pay attention to is matters of the heart. I don't mean the biological heart pumping, but in terms of the spiritual heart, as we talk about the heart, you know, the sins of the heart can be very deadly. Unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, slander, all these things are issues of the heart. And it's so deadly that, see, they can be hidden. No one sees it. No one knows it. You alone know. And that's why it makes it very serious. So you are walking there, you have unforgiveness in your heart, you have hatred, you have anger issues in your heart, you have slander, all sorts of things in you, and you are holding grudges against people and all that. When you see them, you pretend, oh, all is well, but in your heart, you see, that's why the Bible says that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. That's how dangerous it is. Hatred equals murder. So in the sight of God, he sees you as you are a murderer. That's how serious it is. See, so in assessing ourselves, because you just cannot just go through the year and the year is ending, you are just thinking of just the merrymaking and the year has ended and all. We thank God the year has ended and all that, no doubt about it, but we should also not ignore some major critical spiritual points in our lives. We cannot go on into the next year when we've not done some performance index analysis of how we lived our life this year. The life that God gave us this year, how well have we used this life? How positive have we used it? Has our lives been positive to the point where our lives have glorified God? Has it been a positive thing that people have said that, oh, we thank God for this person's life? I mean, our lives, how have we utilized the resources, the Holy Spirit that we have, the gifts that we have? We have to assess ourselves. Are we wasting the gifts, or for some, they've shut and locked the gifts that and talents that they've been given, so they know they have something to do for God or for the kingdom, not necessarily being in church to do it, but you know, the kingdom is beyond the church. The kingdom of God is beyond the church. So it's not about just singing in church. That means you've utilized your gift. For some, they know that there are other things they can do. There are things they can talk to people. When they are such that if they start talking to you, you cannot say no. There are people like that. They have a way of communicating that makes it difficult for people to say no. For such a person, it's a gift God has given you, a talent or a gift God has given you, to be able to bring souls to the kingdom. Because if you say you want to talk to people to come to church or come to know Christ and all that, they can't say no. Because it's like, you know yourself. There are people like that. They have talents that they can use in various ways to expand the kingdom, to bless the kingdom, bless the church, bless whatever. All these things are things we should ask ourselves. This year, my talents or gifts for those who don't know anything, whether you are, you don't know whether you have any talent or a gift, I want to pray to God to give you an idea if there is necessary. I mean, you have to, because you just can't also just exist as if there's nothing. Me, I'm just working solo. Me, just working in the kingdom. I'm born again. That's all. Just on our way to heaven. Nothing to do. Nothing. That one too cannot be something that you should be happy about, because there should be something at least. If not at all, there are some people you can pray for them to be born again. Your prayer can turn somebody's life to Christ. So everybody can get something to do, or should have something to do. It may, for some, there are things they will be doing, it's all secret. People will never know. There are people who intercede seriously for people. They pray for their pastors without even the pastors knowing, seriously doing it behind the scenes. All these things are things God can assign you or place on your heart to be doing. So ask yourself this year, what things did the Lord place on my heart to do that I failed to do? There will be things which you know that God prompted you that this year do this, this year do that, do that, do that. But we are in December and it's like, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. Assess yourself and see where the failure is, what caused the failure. Then if you replan and ask God for forgiveness and then restart again. See, we have to take these spiritual assessments then very critically and very seriously, because that is who we are. We are Christians, we are in Christ, we are believers, we are born again, whatever we call ourselves. But we also cannot just live our lives at will just because, we do what we want, we live the way we want. It just can't also be that way. He's purchased us with his blood, so he also has a right in how we live our lives. Our bodies are temples for him. So virtually, we are not on our own. We've been bought with a price. And if someone cannot just buy you at a price and you just do whatever you want to do at will. It must conform to the person's will and how he wants you to live for him, because he's bought you. So now you are accountable to him. That's how we should see it, and that's the reality. You see, so that's why it's important to just assess yourself. And maybe I'll just list all the things so that people can take notes and then do their own assessments. Let me just start from the first of it and then move through the others. So the first was time, as I said. Then, so we have time, we have prayer, we have the word. So the first was time, then second, prayer, then the third, word. So the word of God, how I want to look at it. Then forgiveness, as I just spoke about, forgiveness is very critical. Then the fear of God, the fear of God. Now we have a generation that does not fear God. Christians do not fear God. You see pastors who do things that shows they don't even fear God. How well have you feared God this year in your way of living? Does it exhibit or show someone who fears God, or is like, God is our father, he can't do anything to us, I don't care, I don't fear who? I mean, there are people who unconsciously, that's how we behave, as if God cannot do anything to us, so we don't care. Or because because of grace, God will not do it because of the grace. So we are living anyhow and carelessly, as if because of the grace we are free to live anyhow. No, the fear of God is something we should also look at. So that's also another you can take note of. Then you have the issue of love. Love is so important. How well have we loved those we should love? How have we walked in love this year? Both love to God and love to men. And that's how it is. I mean, love. How effective has our love been? So that one is also another way of area we should assess ourselves. Then the issue of the hearts, as I said, the heart issues. You know, keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's upon which this program is based on Proverbs 4:23. And so, you see, the psalmist has this beautiful prayer in Psalm 139, 23 to 24, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, as we assess ourselves towards the end of the year, this is one prayer we can pray, that God should search our hearts. Because sometimes you don't even know what's in your heart. Oh, yes. I mean, it's very possible. Sometimes you don't even know what's in your heart. But let God bring his torchlight to shed, I mean, all those parts, to shed the darkness out, and everything to be exposed for you to see. You know, talk to God about it. Pray about it. So that's also another critical one. We look at so the heart. And then you also have relationship. How our relationship with God has been, how his communication to us, have we been obedient? If he says the things we should do, have we been doing it? Then we can look at church. Church, it's not just about attending church, but what is our motive? What is our duty? What are we doing to help the body of Christ? As I said earlier, what benefits have we brought to the kingdom, and all in church attendance? How faithful have we been, and all that? I want to one thing. Then the grace. Have we abused the grace? Have we been abusing the grace this year? Or have we worked in the grace to help us to rather live right? You know, because Hebrews 12, 28, 29 says, "Wherefore, we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." So you see, grace is to help us to serve God acceptably. It's not the reverse of, because of the grace, we can serve God anyhow, carelessly. No. The grace is rather to empower us to serve God acceptably. How well have we used this grace positively to our advantage in serving God acceptably, in living a life that is, you know, right, in living fruitful life spiritually, in living and overcoming life victoriously, and all that? These are things we have to assess ourselves about. Then we move on to the next, missions. And that's a very red zone, danger zone. Missions, evangelism. The whole year, have you done something that has brought someone to the kingdom? Or perhaps your life has even been more of a rejecter. You have been pushing people out of the kingdom with your lifestyle, the way you talk, the way you do things. Even in church, people have stopped coming to church because of you. I mean, no, then you are in trouble. You have to rather assess yourself and see that if you are the cause of some people falling away from the faith, then you really have something to say to God. We should even go in and bring the souls. You are not going, and the souls, the little that are there too, you are even pushing them out. No, that's dangerous. So assess yourself this year. How well have you done? You promised yourself, oh, this year we'll win souls every month. We'll win one soul every month, every week. Evangelism, this. You write all the resolutions. Today is the 51st week ending. And assess yourself. Have you failed positively? Have you failed, like, or positively you can say that you've achieved something? You can look back in the year and say that you did this and that for the kingdom of God. You were able to pray for some souls. You pray for people, interceding for them to be saved. Interceding. You see, intercession for people to be saved is one secret assignment which we should ideally all be involved in, because there should be people we are concerned about that they are not saved. Be it family members or friends and all that. There are people who, it's not even you who preach to them, but your prayer can cause their path to cross somebody who will preach to them. So, in the, see, there are spiritual things we cannot understand. So there are people who is in heaven before we get to know that, oh, it was the prayers we're making that caused them to be able to be saved. Without you, maybe you didn't even know they were saved. Eventually, you may not even meet them, but your prayer is working wonders somewhere, and you have no idea. You have no idea. You see, that's one difference prayer make. Prayer, sorry, that's to these unsaved people, because somebody will be at the point of death and God will have mercy on the person, give the person a second chance. He's not saved. Yes, God gives a second chance. Eventually, the person becomes saved. And you ask yourself, it's not fair. That same type of sin or lifestyle, somebody is in that, and then he dies and goes to hell. But the issue is, behind the scenes, you cannot say it's not fair, because there may be someone who was praying for this one who God had to answer that prayer. But for the one who died and went to hell, no one was praying. So there's no prayer to be answered. You see, so these are very technical things which we will not understand. So we'll just blame God. Oh, God is not fair. He gives some opportunity to be saved after they've wasted and done all the bad things, and yet he gives them, like Apostle Paul, he does all the bad things and now he meets Jesus, he's saved. And there are people who encountered God like that, even in our world now, where they all the bad things and then miraculously they encounter Christ, they are saved. But some too will be in that same lifestyle. They will not encounter any Christ, and they will die, and they will go to hell. But the difference is, there will be some prayer behind the scenes you are not aware of. Somebody, maybe some grandmother somewhere, even may not be a relative, but somebody is just interceding, God, save this person. Don't let this person go to hell. I remember one American preacher who said he was not saved. He was a very stubborn, bad guy. And he died. Medical situation, died out of body and all. But God sent an angel that they should bring him back, because her mother has been praying from her childhood that, Father, don't let this my son go to hell. And this one prayer, the mother has prayed for years. So this mother has been praying and praying, God, don't let my son go to hell. Don't let my son go to hell. No matter what, don't let my son go to hell. So even when medically he had to die, God still intervened because of the mother's prayer. You see, so intercession is a major part of evangelism. Unfortunately, sometimes we think it's only those who are going out who are the ones who are doing the work of God. But there are some who are not going out. They are not holding any placard on the street side, or holding any megaphone, doing dumb broadcast, or preaching in the bars, or going to missions, for missions and all that. But behind the scenes, they are playing a critical role. So whichever way it is, whichever way the Holy Spirit is leading you or whatever to do, let's do it faithfully. You see, but let's assess ourselves where he said we should do, what he said we should do that we didn't do, or we should have done that. Assess yourself and see where the lapses are. Because in assessment is to help you to plan effectively for the new year, so that then you can be more fruitful in the kingdom. You see, so missions is one way, assessing yourself, as I just said. And then, we also look at the gifts, as I mentioned earlier, the gifts and the talents. So let's assess ourselves. How well have we performed with that? Then the spirit, assessing ourselves with the relationship with the Holy Spirit, the working in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. How well you know yourself. As a believer, can you say you are working in the Spirit, you are filled with the Spirit? Is your life conforming to the Spirit in you? Or as the opposite, the flesh is dominating and controlling? And all, you see, so all these are very critical things we should be assessing ourselves. There are many areas. As you start reflecting, the Holy Spirit may even be bringing some other areas in your life which you should reflect on. And all these things would help us to see whether we have to pray, ask for repentance, forgiveness, for the strength. It's a case by case and individual basis. My assessment of myself cannot be the same as measurement that you can use for yourself. So each one for himself in this case. And that, when it comes to spiritual things, that's exactly the case. A mother cannot do it for a father. Each one for himself. Assess yourself. Groups can do also the group assessment, because we are a fellowship, a group. How well have we done this year? How many souls were we able to bring? Our prayer meetings, how effective has it been? Our Bible study, how effective? So groups can also do their assessments. But you see, it helps us to see, because sometimes you can move on autopilot thinking all is well, but in reality, if you really pause and examine yourself, you realize all is not well. You are just deceiving yourself, thinking all is well, when in reality all is not well. So that's the importance of examination, self-examination, as Paul talked about in Corinthians, as I read, as I said, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So in doing this, we are strengthening ourselves spiritually, because then, I failed here, I passed here, okay, God help me, pray for the grace, for the strength, for the wisdom, whatever it is, you pray for the grace, for the strength, you know, and you'll be empowered to be able to do what you couldn't do, or to do what you should do. So this is the importance of this assessment thing. You see, and the best time to do this is as the years, you know, getting to a close like this, and people are reflecting on the year ahead, and then the year gone by, and all. This is the best time to do spiritual assessments of ourselves, failures and successes, and all spiritually. You weigh them, you know, you see where the balances should be, and then do what you have to do. No, and as we do these things, we have an advantage in doing better as we become more focused. That God willing, next year I would want to do this, that, and then know how to pray, because a lot of all these things that we are talking about, spiritual things, and the devil will resist us in various ways and all. So prayer is also so, but knowing how your situation is then gives you a better way of praying, knowing how to pray for the times ahead. And I believe as we do these things, we'll grow spiritually. We'll grow. And one final thing before I wind up, and you see, sometimes we get Christians become agitated in terms of we are confused, we are not sure what the coming year is. You know, I think this is because the Holy Spirit just brought the thought that we've entered the season where people are going to start looking out for the prophecies. What are the prophets saying for 2024? What are the prophets saying? What are the prophets? You see, it's not about what the prophets are saying. You see, we should build ourselves spiritually to the point where it's not what a prophet is saying that you go chasing and looking for. You see, let's rather ensure that we are in the right step with God, in the right condition with God, because if you are living right with God, it doesn't matter what the prophets are saying. Because it's God who told those prophets, the true ones, of course, I mean, whatever it is. And if you are with God, I mean, that's good enough. There's nothing wrong. Also, I mean, if you hear what the prophet is, there's nothing wrong with it. But it shouldn't be as if it's like your whole plan for next year is based on what a prophet will say. So until you hear some prophets say, you are not even concerned about you yourself praying to God to seek his direction. It's like you put yourself on pause until I hear what the prophets are saying before now you can plan your year. No, that shouldn't be the case. Let's rather seek the face of God ourselves. Let's seek a better relationship with God. Let's rather seek to be pleasing God. And when we are pleasing him, we are living right, we fear him, and all these things we are talking about, the assessment and all, we are working things out in a positive way and all that, you realize that things begin to change. For some people, it doesn't matter what the prophets will say. If your time management, you are still wasting your time and next year, the prophecies will not come to pass in your life. Is it so? It's not just about the prophecies. It's about you yourself. How well are you positioned to even be a beneficiary of any prophecies that are going to bless you? Because for some people, if God blesses them, they will still waste it because their mindset is not right. The way they think is not right. Our thinking is off. This is because we think in negative ways. We think in all sorts of negative mindsets is what is controlling. And that's a big problem for Africa and Ghana in general. We have a lot of our problems are mind issues. Thinking. We lack thinkers, critical thinkers. We lack thinking. we don't often talk about these things, but the Bible has many verses and things. God willing, next year is some of the things I'll talk about it, because you see, it's so important. For those in my broadcast list, I spent almost 50 days on it this year. One of the longest series I've done was talking about the mind, the thinking, and our thoughts and all, because that really, really is our engine. No, the Bible, Proverbs says it, as a man thinketh, so is he. You see, so you are who you are because of what you think. If you think you are poor, you are poor. If you think you are a Christian, then you begin to act like a Christian. If you think, you see, the mind is what is dictating to you, is directing you. So if it doesn't matter the prophecies, if you don't change your thinking, 2024 will be the same or maybe worse than this year. So it's all about getting the right mindset, putting things right. And all these things, the word of God is the basis. The power, the knowledge, everything, we find it in the word of God. Aside other inspired writers, but the word of God is the foundation. You have these wisdom keys in the word of God. So let's get deeper into the word of God. Let's wait on God. Let's allow God to direct us, to show us, give us the wisdom. Because if all these things in the word of God, we begin to walk in them, apply them, have that understanding, the spiritual insight and everything, things will begin to fall in line. But oftentimes we ignore it, and we struggle to do things our own mental way of, the human thinking, type of thing. So we fail, we neglect what God has said. So let's renew our thinking, because our thinking is so critical. The mindset that we have. The mindset. So assess yourself, as you said, in doing the assessment. Examine your mindset, your thinking. How has your thinking been? Has your thinking been the mind, the negative, typical African mindset of bad, negative things, fearful, all the negativities? We should learn to be positive minded. We should learn to allow the Holy Spirit to influence us. All these things helps. And that's the best way we can really have a fruitful time, a fruitful year. Else, we can just follow and just be chasing things. Oh, this prophet is saying this. Oh, this prophet has said this in Nigeria. This prophet said this here. So just pile, arrange all the prophecies. This prophet said 2024. This. And now even sometimes fear begins to dominate and control us. And then we ignore the word of God. We ignore the God in our own lives as well. So I'm ending the year. This is the last edition for the year. And I believe we've had a fruitful year. We've gone through a lot of topics and discussions this year. And I really, really thank you for listening to Spirit FM and listening to Issues of Life. Someone sent me a message. He's been listening for 13 years, 40, all these years we've been doing this program. And really appreciate your time. And because it's a choice, as I said. You can listen to any other thing, but the choice to listen to Spirit FM is something which we are grateful for. And we pray that God will bless you as the year ends, and he would give us a new year, and he himself, the same God who took us through this year to the last week of it, is the same God we know he will take us to the next year. So I'm Eben, and I'm signing out for the year. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at